don't know this story. If you grew up in church, you probably heard it 1,000 times. Probably not 1,000, hundreds of times in our Sunday school and all of that. If you heard the story before, could you wave at me too? Okay. Almost 100%. We have all heard the story. Someone said, a writer that I love a lot, he said, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Okay, let me repeat that. What comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So when you think about God, what comes into your mind? When you think about God, what comes into your mind? When you think about God, would you think that, oh, my God is good and His love endures forever? That's why I can live a life that is free. I can explore anything I want because I know God loves me. Is that what comes to your mind? When you think about God, do you think about God as someone that is so generous? He gave us not only everything, but also His Son while we were sinners. So is that the God that you think about? Or when you think about God, is He a very severe God that you have to follow a certain rules? What kind of God do you think about? And remember, that is the most important thing about us. The God we believe marks who we are. So, what is your God like? And, you know, when we walk with God, when we seek to know God, the most important thing is faith. The most important thing is faith. Without faith, we cannot see God. Without faith, we cannot please God. But faith is something that is so abstract. We do not know how to get hold of it. And that's why God is so gracious in His Word. He told us what is faith through the story of Abraham. Not only this story, but the whole life of Abraham. They call him the father of faith, not without reason, because all his life, from the moment he first met God, he walked with God in faith. And the climax of his journey of faith comes in today's story. Abraham sacrificing his son, Isaac. But I found myself a little afraid of the story. I don't know about you. We all know the story, but are you afraid of the story? You want to keep the story at arm's length, right? Why? I found that I'm afraid that he would ask me to give up the thing that I hold most dear, to give up my son, to give up someone that is so precious to me, to give up something that is so precious to me. So that's why we want to keep it at arm's length. We do not want to really follow God. We don't want to really believe in Him. We don't want a very deep relationship. Did I describe you to? I found that I struggle with this story so much. Oh, it's impossible. This is absurd. How can one trust God like that to give even his only son? I believe that prompts someone to write this prayer. This is a tongue-in-cheek prayer. He prayed, God, please give me 50 cents of faith, just enough to soothe my conscience and enough to help me through some difficulties, but not enough to stir me to kingdom and greater things and eternal things. God, give me just 50 cents of faith so that I can pass through some difficulties, but not enough to let me experience God fully. So how much faith do you want? 50 cents? Is that enough? Or you want to dive in, all in, to experience God as Abraham experienced God? You know, God saved us from sin. He wants us to experience Him fully. But sometimes we do not trust Him. We felt that He may he may not be the God that we believe. He may not be all love. He may pull a joke on us sometimes. Sometimes he may just want the things. He's such a cruel God. And after he took the thing that we held most dear, he would laugh at us as we are suffering. Do you believe our God is all good? Do you believe that our God is all loving and all powerful? God is worthy for us to believe. So let me ask you now, how's your walk with God today? How's your walk with God? Do you walk with Him by faith or you walk with Him by sight? When is the last time you came through a situation that without God, that you could not do anything? Or when is the last time you gave up something that is so dear to you so that you may serve Him, that you may follow Him? Do you seek to obey Him in everything that He commands? Without any hesitation, without any rationalization? Is God truly good in your mind? Is God truly loving in your mind? And the most important question, do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? So this story recorded in Genesis 22 that we are so familiar with, start with this verse. He said, now it came about that after these things, that after the long life of Abraham, we know Abraham got Isaac when he was 100 years old. So when this story started, probably Isaac is already in his teenage year. Because Isaac can put all the wood, the firewood on his back to go up the mountain. Okay, he must be at least 15, 16, maybe even 17 years old. So Abraham is 116 years old. Now, it came about after all these things that God tested Abraham. Now, Abraham did not know that this is a test. We know. When we read the Bible, we say, yes, that's a test. And it also tells us that no matter how old you are, in whatever stage of your life, God will still test you. God will still test you. God is still testing me today. Even when I'm 80 years old, God may still test me to see where my faith is. Do I put my trust in myself or do I put my trust in God? So anyway, this is a test. Very specific. In verse 2, he say, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. And burnt offering means from the snout all the way to the tail. Okay, usually they sacrifice a lamb from the snout all the way to the tail, completely burnt to the Lord as a holy sacrifice. So the test is very clear. Take your son and then go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him from the snout to the tail. I don't think Isaac has a tail, but the whole offering. And then God is very specific. He didn't miss word here. He said, take your son, your only son, and even named him Isaac, whom you love. So he cannot say, oh, my son Ishmael. Okay, let me sacrifice Ishmael. That is a son that I don't love that much. No, God is very specific. Your son, your only son. So God is testing Abraham to see who is the first place in his heart. As the story unfolds, we can look at it as three different acts in a drama. And then when Abraham got God's command, he obey him immediately. He obeyed him by a series of action. Verse 3, next day, five different actions. He rose early in the morning, and then he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men, his servants, and then his son Isaac, and then he cut enough wood for the burnt offering. Probably a lot. In order to burn a whole offering, you need a lot of wood. And then he set out for the place. It's not that Abraham does not know how to bargain. We have seen a seen incident that he bargained with God. So if you were Abraham, would you not bargain? Oh, could we wait until after Isaac's birthday? Okay, could we wait a little bit more after he got married? After he had some grandchildren, especially he needs to have grandchildren so that your promise will be fulfilled. Because his descendants, my descendants that will bless the world, comes from the line of Isaac. He could have bargained. We know Abraham knew how to bargain in Sodom, Gomorrah. He bargained from 50 righteous men all the way down to 10. But Abraham did not bargain. He obeyed immediately by his series of action. So they set out to the land of Moriah. Gone through 3 days, not a short distance. 3 days, verse 4 and 5, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to the servants, he said, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad and Isaac will go there, and we will worship, and we will return to you. When I was younger, when I read this story, I thought, well, Abraham just lied. Okay, he knew that God wants him to sacrifice Isaac, but he doesn't want the servants to be in on it. So he just left the servants and the donkey there. And then he say, okay, we're going to go, and then we're going to come back. Okay, so they won't bother him. Because if the servants find out what he's about to do, probably they will try to stop him. But yet, if you look closely, he said, I and the boy will go over there to sacrifice, and we will worship. And actually, the pronoun he used is, we will return. He did not say, we will go worship and I will return. We will go and we will return. There is no doubt in his mind that he will be coming back with Isaac. Now that is faith. That is faith. Because he believed his God is almighty. He believed his God can resurrect people. He really believed that he will go with Isaac and they will come back together, one way or the other. So that's act one. As they go, as Abraham obeyed God. And then act two, Abraham went with Isaac to the mountain to give the sacrifice. I believe that journey probably was very quiet. Father and son usually have a lot of conversations, but I believe that day it was a very quiet journey. And then the silence was broken by Isaac's voice. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. He said, my father, behold the fire, the wood, the knife, but where is the lamb for the offering? Isaac has seen his father offer the lamb all his life. There is always the presence of fire, always the wood, and then there is the knife, and then they would slit the lamb's throat, and then they would burn him. That is what he grew up with. Now we see the fire, we have the wood, we see the knife, but where is the lamb? If you are Abraham, if you were Abraham, how would you reply? You are the lamb, right? No, you won't say that. But look at Abraham's reply. Abraham said, he said, my Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my Lord will provide. He still believed God All his life, he has experienced God. All his life, he walked with God. From the time, even before he knew God, when he was in the land of Ur, God said, come, and I will bring you to the promised land. And he believed, and he followed. Every step of his way, God blessed him with riches. God blessed him with power. God made him a blessing to many nations. And when he was 100 years old, and then the Bible said he thought his body was dead, talking about an old man. He is really an old man. But yet, when he was 100 years old, God gave him the promised son, Isaac. So all his life, Jehovah Jireh, my God will provide. My God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. His faith is on his God. He believed that this God has that had walked with him all his life will continue to walk his life, walk with him. This God who never failed him will not be about to fail him now. This is where his faith lies. Is there an area that you need to trust him more right now? Is there struggles that you cannot overcome? Is there any difficulties? Maybe with finances. Maybe with your studies. Maybe with relations. Maybe with your business. Maybe with future direction. Or maybe fights with your friends. Maybe with wayward children that do not want to worship the Lord again. Or maybe you're struggling in your faith. Where do you need to trust him more? Remember, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Abraham experienced the Lord all his life. He would provide. He never let him down. And then they come to the place, Acts 3. Again, Abraham's faith was represented in another series of action. And he built an altar. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. And he laid him on the altar. Remember, Isaac is pretty grown at that time. I'm sure if they got into a fight, Isaac can overcome Abraham. Agree? Okay. 17 years old fighting 117 years old. I try to play basketball with young people, and they lick me every time. Okay. And I'm only 57. Okay. Talk about 117. But that is another strange thing. We just read it. Oh, he bound his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar. But of course, that's a whole other sermon. How Isaac also trusts his father in all that he does. Isaac trusts his father. And then he took the knife and he's ready to slay his son. If you go to any museum around the world, there is 1,000 paintings about Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. And then Abraham answered, here I am. He replied, the angel of the Lord said, do not lay the hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Now I know. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. He passed the test. Right answer. Now I know you fear God. Now I know God has first place in your life because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. He has passed the test. And then God really provided a lamb. See, Abraham looked up and then he saw a ram caught by the horns. And he went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. See, God's test is to test Abraham whether Abraham believed him because with all the goodness that he showed him. Does Abraham follow God and have faith in him because of the son he has blessed him with? Sometimes we follow God. We want a relationship with God because of all the good things he may do for us. Yeah, everybody said becoming a Christian, you will have this, you will have that. But God wants first place in our life. Nothing can rival him in our hearts. He wants the first place. He wants us to love him fully. He wants us to have faith, not 50 cents of faith, but complete faith in him. He wants us to trust him completely. A lot of people said, this story cannot be true. This story is absurd. Faith like this is absurd. It's unreasonable. Do you think it is unreasonable? Yeah, we heard it so much, but we are afraid of it because we're afraid that God may want the best thing in our life, right? But why did Abraham have such a faith? Because his faith is built on God himself. In Hebrews chapter 11, when he talks about all the giants of the faith, the Hebrews writer especially wrote about Abraham's faith. And he let us in at what Abraham was thinking. In verses 17 to 19, Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. I think let's read it together. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. He truly believed God. He truly believed that his descendants from the line of Isaac will be a blessing to the nations. He knows that God promised his descendants will be like stars in the skies and sand in the sea. He truly believed. And he also believed God is almighty. He also believed God can raise the dead. I'm sure when he took his knife to want to slay Isaac, he knew even if he slain him, God can bring him back to life. That's why we will go and worship and we will come back. This is what Abraham was thinking. This is Abraham's faith, fully relied on God himself. Where is your faith today? Is your faith built on yourself, your experience? Does it build on your friends? Where is your faith? If you build on anything, and it will crumble sometimes. But if you build on God, then this story is not absurd. Then this is not unreasonable. You can also experience it today. Then faith is not something that we read about in the Bible. Faith is not something we read about in Christian magazine. Wow, this person has given up all and go to this distant land and to serve God there, nameless for 40 years. That is a faith that we can all experience. That is a faith that we can all have in our life so that we may experience God fully, that we may enjoy all of his riches, all of the fullness of our God. And the reward that he has is amazing. He said, "I will surely bless you." In Chinese translation, "I will bless you with a great blessing, huge blessing." And then, again, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And then, your descendants will take possessions. That means they will conquer their enemies. And then all nations, not only you will be blessed, your descendants will be blessed, but everyone around you will be blessed. That is what faith will bring about. That is what faith and what walking with God will bring about. That we will be blessed and everyone around us will also be blessed. A familiar story. We think it is absurd, but actually it is not. It is a story that we need to apply in our own life. How do you apply that? First, I believe God wants to ask us this question. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? What are you holding dear that you will not give it up for God? For Abraham, the thing that he held most dear is Isaac, his son. What are you holding on to? By nature, we all hold on to something. A.W. Tozer, he said, there is within the human heart a tough, fibrous root of fallen life whose nature is to possess, always to possess. It covets things with a deep and fierce passion. What are you coveting today? With a deep and fierce passion. What are you holding on? We hold on to many things. The most apparent are the possessions, our money, cars, houses, and sometimes even very funny things. Funny keepsakes, okay? Keepsakes. Recently, my house is installing some new carpet, okay? And then we have to clean our house. And then I found a T-shirt of my high school years, okay? I was in high school 39 years ago, okay? A T-shirt from my high school days. I love that T-shirt because I wore it so much, it's so soft, okay? So smooth, almost like silk. And then it has my high school names across my chest. I look at that. I say, should I throw it away or should I keep it? Should I throw it away? It's almost with tears that I dump it, okay? And I know I could never get back into it, okay, with my body right now, okay? We keep very funny things, okay? We held on so much. Sometimes it's our career that we hold on to. Sometimes it's our work. Sometimes it's our calling. Especially those of us who serve God. Wow, my calling. Oh, I founded this thing. Okay, I got to be here until I'm 117. We hold on to all of that. Sometimes it's our dream. Sometimes it's our achievement. We are holding on to, oh, how come they don't give me the right respect? Don't you know I'm somebody? We are holding on to all of that. What are you holding on? Sometimes it's people. We are holding on to friends, holding on to parents, holding on to children, holding on to our spouse, our girlfriend, boyfriend, holding on to a teacher. All of this we held on. What are you holding on? You're holding on to your Instagram account? Holding on to how many followers are following you? That's becoming such a big thing. What are you holding on to? Some of us hold on to our own plans. Well, I'm going to do this, and then 2 years later, I'm going to do this, and then 4 years later, I'm going to do this. But a life of faith, I found that all the plans will go out of the window as you follow God. Your best laid plans, God say, follow me. Your best laid plans, God say, follow me. What are you holding on to? When I was about to graduate from my doctoral degree, I have a dream to become an opera singer. Okay, that's my dream. Okay, and I hope to be able to teach voice in a university. That was my dream. Okay, I was holding on to it. But yet God's calling come to me through a song. The song says, "Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King." And I know God is calling me to give up my voice so that I may serve Him, so that I may sing for Him, always and only sing for Him. So when I heard the call, I was struggling because I was holding on to my dreams. I was holding on to my plan. No, God, I'm about to graduate. You know, I'm about to get a job. You know, I don't want to serve you. Well, how come you're so selfish? Singing for you is okay, but why only? Okay, I want to sing some opera here and then sing for you. Oh, I'll give you the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be in church. I'll be good. I was bargaining with God. But yet I know in order to experience Him fully, I must give up even the things that is most dear to me. What are you holding on to today? What is the thing that is most dear to you? In order to live a life of faith, we need to go without reservation. We need to let go of everything so that God may have first place in our lives. Second, as we give up what we are holding on to, we will experience the power of His resurrection. When we give up what we hold on dearly, we will experience the power of His resurrection. I thank God, 25 years ago, I gave up my voice. I say, "God, my voice belongs to You. I will sing for You always, and I will sing for You, sing only for You." And as I give up, I experience the power of His resurrection. Now, sometimes what we give up, God will take it, and we'll never see it again. But sometimes He will take it, and it will be transformed so that it will be used for His glory. In my case, I didn't become a dumb person that I have no voice left. No, He didn't take away my voice. But yet, from that point on, I know when I sing for His glory. That is very clear in my heart. I experience the power of His resurrection. Sometimes I'm thinking, if I'm still in my opera singing career, if I'm teaching voice in a university, what would I be doing today? Probably I have a teaching position, I will teach some students, and then I'll have a show here or there once or twice a year, and that's about all. But yet, when I'm willing to give up all for Him, now I'm singing more than I ever sang before. Now my singing is being used to bring people into His presence. Now my singing is being used to make an eternal impact. See, life is very short. When I come to this country, I was 19. Soon, it's 38 years already, about to be 39 years. And life is so short. What do you want to do? Make a name for yourself for the few years? Or do you want to make an eternal impact? Experience the power of resurrection. Then we will see God will get all the glory. Number three, how do we apply that? Why are we so afraid to walk closely with God? I think deep down inside, we are afraid that He may not be a good God, as He said He is. Deep down, we may not think that He may not be a loving God, as he said he is. Deep down, we think that he may be a cosmic joy killer. Okay, just taking away what we love the most so that he will enjoy himself seeing us suffering. But have faith in him. Have faith in him. Don't ask for 50 cents of faith. Ask for full faith. Your full faith in him. Because he's a good God. Because he is all-loving. In Romans 8:32, it says this. It says, God did not spare his son and gave him on the cross for us. Would he not, with Jesus, give us all things? Why are we afraid of God? He is all-loving. If God did not spare his son, would he not give you all things along with Jesus Christ? Faith is not something that we grab inside. Faith is our trust in the one that created the universe. Faith is to have trust in the one who has given us his only son. Would you have faith in him? Would you walk with him? Would you walk with him without any reservation? Would you want to experience the power of his resurrection? I would like to sing this song with you. John wrote this song called Wonder. As we come before the Lord, this loving God, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Because in him, we can see that our God is all-loving. In him, we see that we need to worship him and trust him and walk with him all the days of our lives. So come and sing with me. Let's all rise.
Captivating wonder, grace beyond our measure, Christ in all his splendor, glory to the Lamb.
Fix your eyes on Jesus.
Fix your eyes on Jesus, author and perfecter. Strength to carry on. Wonder is the heart's song. Wonder is the soul's cry. Wonder at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, my Lord.
sacrifice.
Wonder at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the story of Abraham and how his faith is demonstrated in the series of actions. How he has trusted the Lord who has walked with him all of his life. And he trusts him that he is the Almighty, what he said he would do, and also he has power to resurrect even the dead. So we pray, Lord, you would give us that kind of faith. You would help us to give up what we are holding dear. Because walking with you, we need to walk with you without reservation. And by giving the things that we hold dear, we can experience the power of your resurrection. Help us to trust in your goodness, trust in your love, trust in your faithfulness, trust that you are the Almighty, and then you will never play a joke on us. All your thoughts for us are thoughts to prosper us, thoughts to give us a future and a hope. So I pray you would help us to trust in you, just like Abraham. It is not an absurd story. It can be realized in all of our lives. So help us to follow you fully and trust you fully. Thank you. We pray for blessing upon this church, that this church will be known as a church that trusts you, that have faith in you. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please.
Thank you once again, Pastor Ephraim and New Heart Music Ministries. May we all hold on to Jesus and let go of anything else that's keeping us from holding on to him. We do want to welcome all who are worshiping with us this morning, and we do especially welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time this morning. Claudia has been worshiping with us for a while, but we've never introduced her, and so Claudia, we just want to welcome you for worshiping with us. She's up here on the front. Glad you could be worshiping with us, and I've let her know that she still has that free lunch coming to her, so hope she said she might take advantage of it next week. I also see, is it Derek? Are you... Mr. Ingram, is that where you know? Okay, if anyone else is worshiping with us for the first time this morning, we do invite you to stop by our connection desk and to avail yourself of more information about our church. I do also want to call your attention to a few other announcements this morning. First of all, there is a Halloween packet that is available for you to use to help you to engage if you so desire, or to withstand from the Halloween holiday that's coming up. We have these packets available in the lobby, and there's just four sheets out there just explaining a little bit about the background of Halloween. And if you want to engage in that holiday for the gospel, you can. There's something like this sign up there that has, would you like to know why death has no victory, or would you like to know about eternal life? It's all in the packet back there to give you some ideas on how to interact with this holiday. There's packets in English, packets in Chinese as well. So we just ask that one take one per family if you would like to do that. A couple of other announcements is that we are starting to have shoeboxes, put together shoeboxes for the Samaritan's Purse Christmas Drive. And there is information about that and a flyer and a shoebox in the lobby today, and those shoeboxes will need to be returned November 17th and 24th. Also, we have our upcoming Sunday school class on how to study the Bible for all it's worth. Want to invite all of our adults to come and learn about studying the different genres of the Bible. That will start next Friday, and next Sunday, I'm sorry. And also, just a reminder that our children's choirs are now open for registration if you would like to sign up your elementary-aged and younger children for that. You can do that. Information is online for that as well and in our bulletin. So, all right, well, that's all the announcements that we have for this morning. Once again, just glad that you could worship with us this morning. And now I'd like to ask that Pastor Ephraim would come, and would you all please rise as we dismiss ourselves with the benediction.
Let's receive God's blessing by faith. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with every one of us, and help us to walk by faith and not